50 days later, we are back at the beginning. We are back with the disciples in a locked room, waiting for Jesus to come. 50 days ago, the focus was on the first part of the appearance, that Jesus did indeed appear alive to his disciples, giving them his gift of peace and showing them that the death that had been inflicted upon him no longer had power over him, showing them his wounds and showing them that he was very much alive. Now, 50 days later, on the Feast of Pentecost, we focus on the second half of that appearance, when Jesus breathes on the apostles, giving them the Holy Spirit, and tells them that the manifestation of the Spirit in their lives, among other things, is going to be the forgiveness of sins. That will forever mark the ranks of the priests and the deacons until the end of time, one of the hallmarks of those clerics' ministry. But if we go back to the Gospel of John, if we go back to the crucifixion, when Jesus dies, the evangelist tells us not that he gave up his spirit, but rather that he gave up the spirit. He gave up the ghost. Indeed, that's where that phrase comes from, for someone dying saying that they gave up the ghost, that they turned over their spirit to God. So some scriptures scholars posit that the Spirit was given to the world at that moment as Jesus died on the cross. So we could rightly ask, where was the Spirit for the last 50 days? It wasn't until 50 days later that we hear in the Acts of the Apostles that the apostles went out and began the proclamation of the gospel powerfully. Well, we could also ask, where was Jesus in the time between when he died on Good Friday and when he rose on Easter Sunday morning? Among other things, as we say in the Creed, that he went down to hell or to the purgatory of the fathers to free all those just souls who were shut out of heaven and were waiting for Christ to come and unlock the gates of paradise, and that he then went and took them into heaven. But again, that's outside of time. So, but the point is that there is some quiet time. There's not just the spectacular manifestation of the Spirit in the gift of tongues or the countless charismatic gifts that have been expressed in the church from the very first day of her life. So I think this is a good reflection for us, that this is a time for us to be like the apostles, particularly between the Ascension and Pentecost, when they were united with one another and with the Blessed Mother in prayer. That we, before we go out and exercise the gifts that God has given us through baptism and confirmation, we pray for the coming of the Spirit into our lives, into the life of the church. And yet we know that the manifestation of the Spirit isn't always spectacular, isn't always flashy. And indeed, many Christians feel that the Spirit is stifled in their lives. Can we say that that is a lack in God? Certainly not. So therefore, we must turn to ourselves and say, what stifles the Spirit lives in us. And indeed, it is an effect of sin in our lives and our own bad habits that we stifle the Spirit, that we are prevented from acting as powerfully as God wills. And so we need to be united in prayer with one another, with the Blessed Mother, and pray that those blocks be removed. But essentially, we need to change. We need to be transformed, just as the apostles were transformed. I mean, if you think about it, at the beginning of Easter, they were still marked with fear. They thought they would be next in the persecution of the Romans. And yet, 50 days later, on the Feast of Pentecost, they are out publicly proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. So this is the kind of transformation, that ongoing transformation, that each of us needs. And just as God's invitation is clearly manifested not just for the Jewish people, but for all people, as St. Paul says, that there is no distinction now in humanity where the gift of the Spirit is held back from on God's end, that it is available to all through faith in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So as we celebrate this great feast of Pentecost, of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church at her beginning, we pray that we might have a renewed Pentecost, that the gifts that God gave us in our baptism in confirmation might be unbound in our lives, so that the world so hungry and so needing of the good news of the resurrection of the dead might encounter that through us, through the gifts that God has given us, that we might work in tandem with one another, because of course it's not just every person for themselves. It is, as the Holy Father said, here comes everybody, but united in the Spirit, united in the body of Christ, the Church, and that those gifts are harnessed together by the Spirit, by the hierarchical gifts of the Church for the proclamation of the Gospel, so that all members of the Church might experience that renewed coming of the Holy Spirit, and that we might then go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus to all the world, that we build up not just the Church, though the Church always needs renewal and rebuilding in every age, but especially out to the world, to those outside of the Church, those who, through sin or scandal or through no fault of their own, do not experience the good news of the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. So again, we take that gift, we pray for that gift, for that unleashing of a new Pentecost, a new revelation of the Spirit through us, through the Church, so that all might experience the love that God has for them and the challenge to be reformed, renewed, reshaped into the very people that God had in mind, the very world that God had in mind at the first moment of creation.